All right. Welcome to A Course in Miracles. We are continuing on a rich section where Jesus is laying out the fact that you do have a choice, but the choice will not happen to you. You're already far down the road of the wrong choice. Body, time, space. Not love, not joining, not sharing. Furthest of all is creating.
What did you just say?
You are far down the road of the habit of being separate.
Right.
So the choice to rejoin spirit, rejoin creating, rejoin the eternal, the infinite, joy, to actually experience anything with a capital letter in front of it. It's a choice that you have, but it will not happen to you. You have to somehow, some way, have a fundamental shift in your priorities. You know something with your heart and your mind and your soul, if you knew what your soul was, that's not true. The momentum that you have going to stay in all things bodies, time, space, is very high. Your first thought of comfort is for your body, not for your mind, most likely. Little do you know that where you do become accustomed to having comfort of your mind, though no matter what you do with your body, you would be comfortable. They're fighting words for people who have heavy duty chronic pain, but they are also saving words for people with heavy duty chronic pain. Ross, what do you got?
So I came up with just a new phrase for me anyway, is that peace is the default. Can you hear okay?
What was that first word?
Peace is the
peace.
Love is the default. So silence is the default. So explaining that, what I mean is that what we're doing is what takes us out of the default.
Nice.
Into separation, into specialness. But yep. The default, explaining that the course, again, is an undoing. So as soon as you stop doing what you're doing, you know, whatever chapter that is, do nothing. What it doesn't say it.
I need do nothing.
So I need do nothing. Yes. Do that. And then you'll find.
The sooner, the better.
Then you'll find that the default, again, is love, is peace, is stillness. So you're doing it. You're putting up the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, as the Course says. You're putting up the blocks. You're the one who's filling it up so that there's not peace. Because when you stop doing that, the default is peace. So anyway, I just came up with default, and I was like,
and you can prove it. I think you have proven it, probably. That's why you're so certain about it. How would you prove it, Ross?
How would I prove it?
Yep. To you, not to anybody else.
When was the last time I did it? Probably this morning, when I just stopped.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, everything got peaceful. And
what?
What? So I went right to the default because I stopped. Yeah, it's that easy. You stop, and then there's peace.
Stop. Stop without any requirements of what stopping looks like or feels like. And look. Feel.
Because no one's here that was last night, so I can say that, yeah, it was like, okay, I'm trying to say, look, when you say it's not working, that's a thought. That's a doing.
Amen.
So as soon as you decide it's not working, okay, yes, you are out of peace. And it isn't working. Yes, you did it because what you just said. And it went like a big lead balloon. And I'm like, okay, how do I say this? But the whole gist of it that I take away and I'm going to use is it's the default.
It's the default. You got it, Ross. Thank goodness. That's proof. That is proof that God is, peace is, love is, that you are free. And anybody here who hasn't somehow, some way, found that instant where you actually let go of everything, including yourself, put that on your to-do list. Find a way to just have zero expectations of anything at all. Go still. Come into the very present moment. Let's do it now. See, what I'm going to ask you to do, this is going to be a couple of minutes, you know, take it or leave it, right? I'm going to ask your body to hold you up. Your body's going to serve your mind just for a moment. Your mind is going to anticipate what it's like to be still and free and just have nothing. To be only a receiver. The body will have to sit and breathe and you'll use your brain. Watch my words now. You use your brain to toss aside any thoughts that show up. You just put them on a shelf, put them aside, just watch them go, abandon them and go back to, what's it like to be still? Let's just do this for a moment or two. Let go. Let go. I don't need to say let go of what. Let go. Allow your sense of self to come inward. Come inward. Let go of all things you can think of or picture or remember. And bring your sense of self inward as you let go. It's only going to be a few moments, so really go for it. Let go. Come inward, let go. And as your sense of self comes inward, away from all things, also come downward, in and down, in and down to rest, where the foundation is. Let go. Have your body take a big breath. The body is serving the mind now. And now, come out of time is you're already inward from space and all the things in your room and your relationships and all that noise. You're already inward and down in the foundation of what you actually are. Come now, just for a moment, out of time. Notice the seconds going by and now slipping between them, stopping time. In the workbook, it mentions that in the present moment, nothing actually happens. You can't even die in the present moment. It is a window or a door into eternity. If you can step into this miraculous moment of absolute presence, you will find your freedom and your peace. Amen. And when you're ready, please rejoin the meeting. This is the opposite of the ego, to go still like that. You are offering. I'm only going to use a few words to finish this sentence, but they're important ones. You are offering your consciousness to your awareness. Doing nothing with your consciousness. You're offering it to your awareness. It's an out of pattern time interval. It's a place where peace, the default state, the eternal state, is known. Not seen or imagined, but known. If you really did let go, there's a simplicity that you simply can't find it in the world. It's a playfulness, too. You know, you do this enough times, you'll continue to expand. Your mind expands. It is like building a muscle. You've so long ignored your freedom. You've so long been away from heaven that you forget how exactly free you are. So the more moments that you just touch it, just touch that freedom. More times you touch that, it grows like a muscle in your mind and your comfort. It becomes a tool that you can go to at any time of sanity. When the world's treating you roughly and things are a little too exciting, or you're trying to go to sleep, you'll say, oh, I know what I'll do. I know what it's like to be really free. And if you have this practice built into you, you will have your own little private garden, a calm center of the storm. The storm is made of time, space, bodies, responsibilities. The storm is made of busy doings and relationships and worrying or excited about projects, things of attractions in the world. This is the storm compared to the wonderful calm center of you. That's why I said go in and go down. And things get very grounded and free. Out of time. The more you do that, the less interesting all of the fancy ego retreats appear to be. But so also opens the wonderful capital letters. For me, I learned how to do this, and I went back through the Course in Miracles again, and I saw these capital letter words. I began to feel them. Because I knew that there is something beyond my body. And of course, took on a whole new color for me as I became more free. Challenge of the Course is I'm not a body. Huge discovery. I am free. And then the gift, I will forever remain still as God created me. Free, a creator and a lover. This is what you actually are. So, thank you, Ross. That is absolutely beautiful teaching. And amen, this is your path. This is your path. It's a path of peace. A path of knowing that you're one thought away from that peaceful moment. Right? Not 10 thoughts. Eventually, not 10 minutes or even 10 seconds. Do you see? When you learn to do nothing, nothing of the ego, your spirit can be heard. It loves peace. It loves certainty. It loves absolutes, too, as a foundation. That's what the capital letters are. So, thank you, Ross. Beautiful, beautiful teaching. And from there, you can come back into the world and have holy relationships instead of ones that are arguing and fighting and worrying. From there, from peace. Peace is our goal, but it is not the end. In fact, peace is the beginning. Peace is the beginning of your awakening, not the end. You're not nothing. You're something. You are a purposeful extension of God. So perfect peace doesn't mean that you become an aspect of a cloud that forever floats in a sky that is the perfect temperature, holding up a harp for an angel. It's not your destiny. You're way, way, way more than that. But you've got yourself into a real bind here. You've become a drug addict. And Course in Miracles is your intervention. And you're asking to try sobriety from the ego, time, space, and separation, and discover how wonderful it is to be sober, to be awake, to actually be extending love once again. Can't beat it. This is a choice that is before you. And now we'll bring it back down to the ground a little bit. Oh, wait, I had an insight when I was chatting along. I thought of a paragraph that was really cool for us. Anyway, I'm sure it'll come back. So now we have this essential choice. You know, the Course in Miracles is your guide to awakening. This is a guide to, you know, it's a spiritual journey, you know, a psychological journey to a spiritual awakening, you could say. Psychological uses your mind. It's got words. You'll be thinking. You'll be reflecting on your behavior and your thoughts. So that's kind of psychological. You'll be looking at your motivations. You'll be looking at your beliefs. Yes, that's psychological. You'll be looking at what you think is true. That's psychological. Your beliefs, right? You'll be looking at your memories. That's right. But the horizon is a spiritual awakening. You're coming out of time to eternity. That's what a miracle is for, to shift you out of one standard of thinking to another standard, right? Good for you. Good for you all to have the access to this power of A Course in Miracles. This is your gift to you, for sure. Okay, so I'm going to say it just one more time in different words, just to lay it out as simply as possible. Block, the block in your life to love's awareness is your body. Just wanted to say that. Just mention it. You got to be reminded, because the body speaks first and loudest. The ego speaks first and loudest. The body's needs and desires show up instantly all the time. The moment you have any discomfort, it's your body, again, taking over your attention. Luann, please, what do you got? I'll get your mute. And Luann.
Oh, okay. Hold on. I didn't know I was muted. I wanted you to continue on this path. Actually, I will not interrupt you, but I didn't want to forget what I wanted to say, which is, so what we are is love and creation. So I've been wondering whether or not the creation comes from the love. In other words,
it is. This is a quote from the Course. Short sentence, but it's it. There is no place where God ends and you begin. Period.
Well, I understand that part. I understand it. But I'm saying, I think of God as the energy, as pure love. And that's it. And I know that God can create. So I don't know if it's as separate from love or if they're connected and love comes first and the creative ability comes from the love.
Well, creation and create, as defined by A Course in Miracles, could also be used the word extension. Mm-hmm. When the ego gets its hands on the word create, it does what A Course in Miracles calls making, where you think of things that are temporary in nature, not absolute, they're lower letters, making. So, if you want to talk about create, it's eternal. It's an extension of the truth, of beauty, of the goodness, of love. So, yes, you, who you really are an extension of God, which is love.
Okay.
You're exactly that.
And love just automatically, its presence creates.
Love is absolutely everywhere, all the time.
And so is creation, isn't it?
And so is creation. Creation is everywhere, all the time. So what's the rub, you might say? Why don't I experience everything as loving?
No, because I've got conditional love, that's why.
You do, that's it. You're playing with your mind. And to come up with conditional love, with lowercase, with substitutes for love. They're fantasies. They're not truths. They do not last. And you, because of back to the beginning, because you are an extension of God, you cannot be limited. Right? So that allows you to fool yourself as much as you want.
I guess the reason I brought it up is because it feels to me like when I seem to be, and I don't know if I am, but it feels like I am unconditionally loving, mm-hmm. something wonderful is also created at the same time.
Amen, sister. These are your loving thoughts. They are your creations. When you have a true, boundless, loving thought or a thought of somebody else's interest is equal or higher than your own, there is a crossing over. There is a creation, a love experience. And you'll find more purpose in that moment than years and years of trying.
So we talked a little bit earlier about what forgiveness is. And I still can't get into my head exactly. But when I'm loving, I'm not separated from somebody else. When I'm unconditionally loving, I'm not separated from that person.
Right. Forgiveness is an undoing of wrong thinking. Forgiveness is a letting go of thoughts that are divisive or look at differences. Forgiveness is what you do to undo the habitual thoughts that would divide or limit and not love.
I guess what I'm getting at is if we go to that still place where we are not involved in space, time, etc., then everything that we've made is gone, and the only thing that there is left is ourselves as an extension, love.
That's right. That's right. And the more you do that, the more you become aware, keyword, aware of a larger sense of being. When you look at your body and your time and your life and even the entire earth, it's a small sense of being. It's still a sense of being, but it's very small. It becomes, you learn it as a substitute. It's very small and special. Tom, what do you got?
I think I'll start with the end. coming off of what Luann is talking about. So my understanding, it would be that creation and love are going on all the time, and the changes are awareness of them.
Bingo.
Yeah, because I think Jesus even says at some point, you know, you'll remember your creations like they already happened. Right? Okay. So now going back to the meditation, I'm sorry I missed a little bit. I missed Ross's teaching, but it went into the meditation. And what I was aware of, you know, I got a little bit calm, but, you mentioned the body is always demanding attention. In my case, you know, the pressure in my head seems unbidden and not related to conscious thoughts. So what I couldn't help, but it seems like that seemed like it was there, even though I was kind of like I was at least able to be aware of it, but not completely free of it. And also I could feel what I would, this seeming sensation that I call sadness in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are the things that I wanted.
This is good. Thank you, Don. You're calling for a miracle. I'm going to offer one. Does anybody else here have, or from time to time or all the time, a chronic pain? Sciatica or, I don't know, some, Jason, yes, sir, understood. Jason sent me x-rays to prove it, so I know about Jason's has chronic pain. So listen, think about this for a moment. This could be a practice. Give it a try. You can report back if you want. I don't have chronic pain, but I have some pretty serious pains from time to time as I do tend to injure myself in my work and my hobbies, sometimes extremely. I found a really interesting power of mind to deal with chronic pain. So this thing in your forehead, it comes and it comes back and then it goes, it comes. Here's where you call on the Holy Spirit to bring on a miracle. Next time that thing shows up, start to think of it as a doorway or a gift to choose peace, to choose happiness, and to choose stillness, to choose. This is a calling. Say, hey, universe is knocking right here to have me come into the present moment.
Yes.
Don't worry about the pain. The pain is what it's always been. That's not going to change. But do take it and be grateful. Say, I will answer now. Oh, I'm being called. Excuse me. And go someplace and sit and make a meditation out of it. It'll do two things. One is you could literally have a spiritual awakening and a miracle, a shift in discovering the power of your mind. Two is you go away, you sit down with this thing and you welcome it. You will not be resisting it like you always have in the past. That causes an entire refrain and reframing. A cascade of events will occur in your body that start to accept it rather than reject it. And you will, if you get good at this, Don, you will see, as I have seen, I've had broken ribs, broken shoulder bones. I've had, you know, things that last a while. And they're made worse by me worrying about them and resisting them. So that led me to some nice physical meditations to stop and release, come into that, say, oh, I'm being called for the very present moment. And by God, I couldn't feel the pain, even the pain. I was okay with the pain. I didn't feel it. I got so centered and so still that even the pain disappeared. But wasn't the goal. The goal was just to be still and go back to a spiritual moment, out of consciousness into awareness. What a gift. Well, that led me, the success in some of those meditations led me to some other higher thoughts where I recognized how powerful my mind was.
Well, I think, you know, I've used the power of the mind to make that pressure, in a sense. You know, it seems like...
No stories. Yeah, I mean, I hear you.
I don't want to go there. The main thing I want to say is two things. One is that pressure is almost 24/7 now.
Okay.
But that's okay. But two things. One is when you do that, and I've been aiming there and doing that to some degree with some of the thoughts you've offered, but I'm refocused by what you're saying. When I close my eyes, and in my case, I'll breathe like I'll just kind of watch my breathing and then kind of just be aware in that moment at the drop, at the exhale, just that moment of no breathing. And like that, but in my internal seeing, I get that I need to not, well, the question, do I focus where I experience the pressure and I'm sure it's important not to let go of any story about it or any, just focus on that pressure without analyzing it or judging it or anything like that. That would be true. Yes.
Focus on what is experiencing the pressure, not the pressure.
Wow.
You're going to shift to what's looking at the pressure. You leave the pressure alone. Do you see?
Wow, that's an unconsidered idea. And I wondered about it.
Let me explain what's happening in A Course in Miracles terms. You're moving from consciousness, the domain of the ego, into awareness. A very simple, out of time, eternal gift of being that you are as an extension of the Son of God. But it's awareness is the term I'm using, not consciousness. Consciousness is where you suffer, judge, anticipate pain being better or worse. Consciousness is where you compare Awareness does not compare. Awareness is still, like what Ross was describing. Awareness has only one initial quality. It is peace. And the more time you spend, quote time, in this peace, you discover that it's also, there's no dimension. It's infinitely large. It's like so simple and empowered. It's this odd sense of being that is not your body or having to do with your body. This is what you do.
Not in the body.
Yes, this is what you do with your pain. You'll sit there. Your body, mind will hold you still. And I recommend you really do this the first few times. So you go someplace like a car or a closet or just someplace where you can really chill and say, I am now going to step aside and look at what's looking at the pain. It is this, what's looking is not suffering.
Okay.
Good, Don. This is a spiritual awakening. This is a call for a miracle, which is a shift in perception. So, buddy, you're bringing it.
Yeah, that was helpful. That was very, very helpful. Thank you.
Let's also, just because this is how we finished the last meeting, let's go back and look at page 388 for a moment. It's right on the same topic. 388 in the text. And it's actually not 388, but it's close. It's 390. Go to page 390, which is chapter 18, section 8, the little garden. And we're going to go to the paragraph right before it, to section 7, paragraph 8 on that page. I gave you a homework assignment last time or two times ago, I don't remember, that every once in a while we do. This is the last paragraph and I need do nothing. But you know, as Ross was saying, this is actually a command. This is actually a healing advice from your teacher. You need do nothing and you better get on it right away. This section talks about how many ways you're so busy with your ego trying to solve your problems that you're avoiding the true power that is your peace of mind, your spirit mind, your Holy Spirit. Let that do and you not do. You the ego, you the worrier, you the one who knows exactly how to suffer and be a victim, step aside. I need to do nothing. I, the small self, need do nothing. I, my spiritual self, does everything. Does it say be a doormat? I need to do nothing. Does that mean that you suddenly just become a piece of wood? It offers in this last paragraph a tool. This is a tool for you. This is a gift you can give yourself. Do you remember? I think all of us were here last time pretty much. Where, let's read this. It's on. It's paragraph 8. In fact, let's read 7 and 8. Lou Anne, would you read paragraph 7 for us on that page?
To do anything involves the body. And if you recognize you need to do nothing, you have withdrawn the body's value from your mind. Here is the quick and open door through which you slip past centuries of effort and escape from time. This is the way in which sin loses all attraction right now.
Right now!
Thank you. For here is time denied and past and future gone. Who needs do nothing has no need for time. To do nothing is to rest and make a place within you where the activity of the body ceases to demand attention. Into this place the Holy Spirit comes and there abides. He will remain when you forget and the body's activities return to occupy your conscious mind. He will remain when you forget
you will remain. That's what we're doing, is making a place in your mind for the Holy Spirit, for the access, your personal access to the Holy Spirit, to bail you out and bring you back to peace that Ross was teaching us in the beginning of the meeting.
I want to say, during the meditation kind of thing, I was having a hard time, Don, leaving my body. And finally I said, you know what? The only way I'm going to do this is to ask the Holy Spirit to do it for me. And that's when it happened.
You bet. I will step back and let him lead the way is a metaphysical and practical all at the same time. Wonderful lesson, multi-levels, 155. Very good, Luann. Ross, I'll get your mute. Would you give us wonderful paragraph 8?
Yet there will always be this place of rest to which you can return, and you will be more aware of this quiet center of the storm than all its raging activity. This quiet center, in which you do nothing, will remain with you, giving you rest in the midst of every busy doing on which you are sent. For from this center will you be directed how to use the body sinlessly. It is this center from which the body is absent that will keep it. So in your awareness of it. So hard to emphasize stuff sometimes.
It's true, I know. Well, it's pretty, the course is written with a couple levels of consciousness woven throughout these paragraphs. You know,
it should be in an iambic pentameter by chapter 18.
Oh my God, yeah.
But
you'll see, you highlight different sentences each time you go through. You've read this paragraph before, but something else might have caught your eye. You've changed. The book is waiting for you to be able to see the gifts and the levels of awakening that are in it for you. It truly makes this thing worth your time. Hold your finger here. We might come back and reread this paragraph as a punchline, but go to page 202. Axel, I'm going to ask you to read next. I'm going to see. Did you allow me to get your mute? No, you have to get your own mute. And go to page 202. And look at this interesting paragraph there. We're going to be looking at the top of the page. And this is paragraph 7 I want you to look at. This section talks about what you get. You know, what you can expect being an extension of God. Excel, give us paragraph 7 when you're ready.
At God's altar, Christ waits for the restoration of himself in you. God knows his Son as wholly blameless as himself, and he is approached through the appreciation of his Son. Christ waits for your acceptance of him as yourself, and of his wholeness as yours. For Christ is the Son of God, who lives in his Creator and shines with his glory. Christ is the extension of the love and the loveliness of God, as perfect as his Creator and at peace with him.
Thank you. None of this is indicating an experience of your body, or your gender, or your age, or any of that. The gift, if you're ready to hear it, it's written up and down in this book. Look at, keep holding on to that, page 390. And let's just look at a few of these references that I have. We'll look at Miracle Principle 20. Front of the book, page 4. Miracle Principle 20. What is it you're doing when you get this quiet center of the storm? And I'm asking you to pick a place. Remember that last time? It's a bench or a beach or, you know, some beautiful place you can think of where you're comfortable or happy. And you just choose to make that in your mind a permanent spot that you rehearse in your mind as a place you can go to where your body is not invited. Where your body is not invited. It's for your mind to picture to go to relax in a comfort zone where you can recognize the truth of what's in this book. So, Kenny, are you there? Miracle Principle 20. I figure you can read it because it's so short.
Yes.
All right. Yes. Lay it on us.
Miracles reawaken the awareness that the spirit, not the body, is the altar of truth. This is the recognition that leads to the healing power of the miracle.
Amen. Thank you, Kenny.
So if I don't think about the words, they make sense.
Wow. Wow. I like how that's.
You already understand the principle somewhere inside of you.
You know, the more you read this book, I like what Kenny just said. The more you read this book, you've been through it a couple of times, you know, you start to let the truth be known rather than you trying to get it, trying to analyze it. You just let it be known. You just let the words come together like listening to music. You don't know what's coming next, but you trust it's good because it's your favorite song. And it does. It gives a strange level of transmission. A strange type of transmission occurs when you just let this information flow into you. That's why I like the audiobook. Just let it flow and listen and hear the highlights and it's just like a shining light and warmth on my heart. Interesting, this information we have in this Course in Miracles. So number 20, remember what Ross said at the beginning of the meeting, he says, hey, peace is the default. This is Ross's path. There is a foundation of peace. It is what you get if you don't do anything else. It's for keeps because it was there before, during, and after. What a wonderful gift he's giving himself. Certainty of peace. And I'm telling you, it's one thought away. It's one thought away. So look at number 20. I'm going to say Ross's thought that peace is present all the time as a default. I'm calling it a foundation. Underneath, no matter what seems to be going on in the busy world, peace is there if you'll just stop and say, oh, yeah. Okay, that is a miracle. That's a shift in perception. The oh, yeah, that is forgiveness. It's saying, I'm going to take the peace. Oh, yeah, I can have peace. It's forgiveness. And then that deep sense of release you get is the holy instant. That's what we're doing here. Number 20 says, miracles reawaken the awareness that spirit. So when Ross said peace, he didn't mean that he gets to sit in a comfortable lounge chair with his feet at the right height. I think he meant the peace of mind. The spirit of peace is what he was accessing, not a form of peace. Any form is temporary, any form is arguable, any form is subject to change, and it's conditional. But Ross is talking about peace of mind. This is a capital P. The default, he says. So, his miracles, this peace that Ross is talking about, awakens the idea that spirit, not the body, is the altar of truth. Truth is what is eternal. Truth is from where you come and where you return. Truth is your actual being. Ross, what do you got?
So yeah, no matter what's going on, I know peace is waiting for me. It's just...
No matter what.
And I know I've said this before, it's just a matter of, all right, how long is it going to take for me to stop, you know, teasing out these, you know, stories and let them go.
Indulging the ego.
Right? And go back to what I know is waiting for me, which
where
is,
I know I'm going to go anyway, eventually.
And stop, you know, and start, you know, pulling out the toolbook and going, okay, this is calling for forgiveness. Okay, this is calling for releasing judgment. Okay, this is calling for, you know, I am not a body. You know, this is calling for all these tools. They're all right there. It's just, okay, when am I going to utilize them?
Beautiful.
Because right now I'm having a little tizzy fit, but you know, the ego doesn't have that big of a hold. It's going to let go after a while and go, oh, all right, I guess I can do the course again. So, but man. I know it's all there waiting.
When is a good time to be at peace?
Now.
Now is a really good time.
You can pull it off.
Absolutely. The truth has been spoken.
What the course says is, what time is for having peace all the time.
Yeah.
So get with the program.
Yeah. Imagine how much fun you can have if you had peace all the time. Yes, Luann.
So I'm understanding something I haven't understood for ever since I read it. And that was the earlier chapter about creating an altar. And then, of course, the way you do that is through forgiveness, as far as I can tell. And so what I'm thinking now is that when I let go of some annoyance that somebody has given me, that I have accepted, that I've reached for, I should say, when I let go and say, and feel peaceful about it instead, that's kind of like joining with that person. When I'm feeling loving about that person instead of annoyed with that person, I'm joining with them, and that's what forgiveness means in a way.
You're joining with the unobjectionable part of the person, which is their spirit. Their physical body may be very objectionable, and their ego is always wrong. As the Course says, your brother is right, but, you know, comma, his ego is always wrong. So when you go to the spirit of that person, like the spirit of peace, not the form of peace, not the form of the person.
Right.
That's back into the ego world. Then you touch this eternal nature and the freedom we're talking about. What do you got, Don?
Well, I was practicing that. And what it was going to the peace in myself, which is the peace in them. Right. Just going, I'm picturing myself up here.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of moves me away from my preoccupation with my body.
Good.
And my thoughts, of course. And when I go there, like if I look at Ross, right, this in my mind, I look at Ross. I don't know if I ever get to him, but I get to a feeling of spaciousness here and a good feeling in my heart.
Yes. Spirit, the spirit of Ross.
What?
The spirit of Ross.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I guess it also was helpful for me. I wasn't quite finished with what I was going to say.
Sorry.
In looking for joining with somebody in peace, in love, then I really can't, and there's really no point in me trying to change their ego.
Right. Amen, sister.
I can leave that alone. That's not what I need to be conscious of.
That's right. No point, no need. Just more ego. Egos change egos.
That is kind of a relief in a way, because I,
good. You know,
part of me was feeling if I could just change how they think about that, then we could get along a little better. Or something like that, or I could quit judging them, or whatever.
What a tangled web that would weave. Much better to come to peace and love their spirit of what they're doing rather than how they do it or what they say.
Yeah. It's kind of a huge release.
You can have a holy relationship even as they do unholy things. Yeah, good, good, good. Turn to page 86 in the back of the book, the Manual for Teachers.
I have to tell you, that's hard having been a psychologist.
I'll bet.
Hear their ego.
Yeah, yep. Try to help them navigate better with their ego. No, what we're doing is a very high calling. It's a very high calling, this turning inward to the, discovering the power of your mind and then taking responsibility for it. Very high calling. To have a miracle, to shift away from the gritty maneuvers of the ego and to discover a self that is beyond the body here and now, even as you still appear to be controlling a body. This is a very high calling. This is a spiritual endeavor, which is why I'm making such a strong point here about choosing spirit over body. And of course, miracles is calling you eventually. If not 100, I forget the count now, that you're not a body, I am free, am I as God created me. This is repeated more times in the book than any other phrase, intentionally. Because eventually you might actually hear it once, with obviousness. And boop, 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 oh, something shifts forever. That's the idea, this will continue to free you. Look at Manual 86. Let's just read 6, 7, and 8 there. Mark, I got your mute. Would you read for us on Manual page 86, section 4 in the Manual for Teachers, paragraph 6?
Okay, I'm in the manual.
Okay. Go to, this is in clarification of terms. Number 4, true perception and knowledge.
Number 4, I have Manual for Teachers. Number 4, what are the characteristics of God's teachers?
Okay, keep going to the next number 4, which is in next section in on your screen, which is clarification of terms.
I'm not picking it up.
It's almost at the end.
Yeah, or wherever you are, go to see the last.
Okay, I got a clarification of terms. Number 4, true perception, knowledge.
You got it. And now go to the paragraph that starts, the number 6, was this is the shift that true perception brings.
Okay.
Go for it.
Okay. This is the shift that true perception brings. What was projected out is seen within.
Whoa, 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 whoa. What did he say? Mark, you got to read that again.
What was projected out is seen within.
Whoa.
And there, forgiveness lets it disappear.
Remember, forgiveness is undoing. It is release. If you were able to see something that outside of you that you were worried about and somehow you got it in, it was out, it's in, it was them, now it's in you. Do you see what I'm saying? It takes a miracle. Now you can release it because it's in you and you have the power to release any of your thoughts. Please continue.
And the release is forgiveness, right?
Yes, sir. You got it. On the button.
For there the altar to the Son is set, and there his Father is remembered. Here all illusions brought to truth and laid upon the altar. What is seen outside must lie beyond forgiveness, for it seems to be forever sinful. Where is hope while sin is seen outside? What remedy can guilt expect? But seen within your mind, guilt and forgiveness for an instant lie together side by side upon the altar. There at last are sickness and its single remedy joined in one healing brightness. God has come to claim his own. Forgiveness is complete.
This is why I'm encouraging you to make an altar in your mind, a quiet, wonderful place that you love to think about, where your body is not invited. So you can then take the troubles of the day, lay them on the altar, put them on in this holy place in your mind, and your Holy Spirit will empower you to see that they're in you and they are your thoughts. They have no power over you. And then forgiveness just happens. It dissolves. The miracle has occurred because you left your body outside. Your body is not invited to this secret garden of yours. And forgiveness is an easy task now to release what is not real, to release stinking thinking, preferring peace instead. Now, Don, would you read for us paragraph 7?
Okay. Excuse me. And now God's knowledge, changeless, certain, pure, and wholly understandable, enters its kingdom.
And by the way, since we won't come to this page again, perhaps for years, that word knowledge, it's in italics.
Yes.
One day when you come here, you might cry upon reading that word in this context. That word can mean so much. Please continue.
Gone is perception, false and true alike. Gone is forgiveness, where its task is done. And gone are bodies in the blazing light upon the altar to the Son of God. God knows it is his own as it is his. And here they join. For here the face of Christ has shown away time's final instant, and now is the last perception of the world without a purpose and without a cause. For where God's memory has come at last, there is no journey, no belief in sin, no walls, no bodies, and the grim appeal of guilt and death is there snuffed out forever.
Snuffed out forever. That last sentence is sort of the definition of enlightenment. Transcendence. Really not enlightenment, transcendence. The ideas of bodies is gone. Wow. And then, Luann, would you give us paragraph 8?
Oh, my brothers, if you only knew the peace that will envelop you and hold you safe and pure and lovely in the mind of God, you could but rush to him where his altar is. Hallowed your name and his, for they are joined here in this holy place. Here, he leans down to lift you up to him, out of illusions, into holiness, out of the world and into eternity, out of all fear and given back to love.
This is what you get by releasing your focus on the body. Please, please, please do the exercise and give yourself the gift of having a little secret garden, a special place in your mind where you can go and your body's not included. You just find yourself in the peace that Ross was describing at the beginning of the meeting. Do that. Do it often. Get used to it. And it will be forever, and I mean forever, forever, a place for your mind to rest. Okay, let's work on tonight's reading. Please go to page 480 in the text. 480 in the text. And we're going to now have Jesus continue taking us on this journey of awakening, of this two-sided coin that we've made. One is body, one is spirit. That's the two sides. You can't actually see the spirit or understand or be aware of a spirit when you're focused on body. And likewise, when you're focused on spirit, you cannot see or appreciate or even think about the body. Do you see the impossible divide now? Why I call it a two-sided coin? You can't look at both sides at the same time. Thank God it's that simple. How simple? Yes, Luann.
So that emphasizes for me how important it is to stop as often as I can and find that silent place of peace to reinforce my brain to think that way or to be that way rather than glam on to whatever the ego is doing around me.
Amen, sister.
Because it's hard. I mean, when you were talking about your pain, I was thinking about, I was walking down, I went to the laundromat and I was barefoot. And I was walking down to the, down and met some women and there was a man with them and he said, "What are you doing barefoot?" And I said, my feet hurt. That's my chronic pain. It's my feet hurt. They're either too hard, they're too cold and they burn, or they're too hot and they burn, one or the other. And my shoes make it worse, and my so I go barefoot a lot. and I realized when he mentioned my feet, I thought, "Oh, they hurt," and I hadn't realized it until I got there.
Busted!
Busted. And I thought, well, you know, I can pin the bottom all I want if I want to, but nevertheless,
that a girl, you're one thought away.
Fine.
Very good. Very good. Excellent. Okay, Ross, I'm going to get your mute. Would you read for us page 480, paragraph 2?
Where freedom of the body has been chosen, the mind is used as means, whose value lies in its ability to contrive ways to achieve the body's freedom. That's a fat sentence.
I apologize. It is.
yet freedom of the body has no meaning, and so the mind is dedicated to serve illusions. This is a situation so contradictory and so impossible that anyone who chooses this has no idea of what is valuable. Yet even in this confusion, so profound it cannot be described, the Holy Spirit waits in gentle patience, as certain of the outcome as he is sure of his Creator's love. He knows this mad decision was made by one as dear to his Creator as love is to itself.
All it is saying is that if you choose the body, then your power of spirit will go into making your body important. If you choose spirit, then your power of body will go into making the spirit important. That's all he's saying.
That's what it sounded like.
Let's tie this in with number 3. Axel, would you read for us paragraph 3 and see if there's any help for us?
All right. Be not disturbed at all to think how he can change the role of means and end so easily in what God loves and would have free forever.
That's you, by the way. What God loves to be free forever is you. Please continue. Yeah.
Wait a minute. I'm still digesting the first sentence. I read it again.
Sure. And go ahead. No problem. Anytime.
Be not disturbed at all to think how he can change the role of means and end. Oh, how he can change the role of means and end.
Yep.
So not end so easily, but means and end so easily.
Oh, right.
Ooh, in what God loves and would have free forever.
What we're talking about, the means and end swapperoo, is do you choose body to serve spirit, or swap the means and end, do you choose spirit as a means to improve the body, or swapperoo, do you choose the body to serve the spirit? Do you see? Means and end. Please continue.
Can I just emphasize too that it's saying here how he can change the role.
Yes.
So that suggests I might be trying to choose the body, but he can change.
One thought away. And I'm using Ross's example. Ross had an awakening. It says, Wiz, I could choose peace right now because it's the default. If I don't do anything else, that's actually one thought. Stop. Be at peace. Peace is waiting. He, the Holy Spirit, another word for that, and we just finished reading it in the last two sections, is reason. R-E-A-S-O-N. Reason. Sanity. Ross was, you could see the obviousness on Ross's face as he was describing peace. Ross was describing peace because he discovered the truth. It was very obvious to him. Obvious to him. Reason will tell you peace is your default state if you do nothing else. So that's why the Holy Spirit can change means and end very quickly for you back to truth. In what God loves, peace is the default state. Please continue.
But be you rather grateful that you can be the means to serve his end. This is the only service that leads to freedom. To serve this end, the body must be perceived as sinless, because the goal is sinlessness. The lack of contradiction makes the soft transition from means to end as easy as is the shift from hate to gratitude before forgiving eyes. You will be sanctified by your brother, using your body only to serve the sinless. And it will be impossible for you to hate what serves. And it will be impossible for you to hate what serves whom you would heal. Oh, I have such resistance to this paragraph.
Well, then I think you better put a marker on it. Because here is, if you have resistance to anything, Excel, including including a page in the Course in Miracles, there's a miracle waiting for you. A gift of awakening is waiting for you. Fight! Fight! Fight that paragraph! Tell us, what's the problem?
Oh, I don't disagree with the word of it. It's all just mumble jumble. I'm so used to this. I'm so used to it. I know not to worry. Sometimes I just sit down and I write the sentences out and translate them. And that is very, 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 very helpful. It's like it just brings tremendous growth. And then I just hit with like 4 days of ego backlash that just... it's here. Oh, I have a question about what we've been reading, which is I read a lot of Ken Wapnick, and I've got my mind pretty trained to think that the body is nothing without the ego thought system. The body is nothingless. The body is a puppet of the ego thought system, and is that followed in your group?
Yes. You want the long answer? Yes.
Okay.
Short answer is yes.
Okay.
We love Ken. We think the body is actually a dream. It's a character in a dream. It's not even a real. Like Mickey Mouse appears. Like I say Mickey Mouse, and you all know exactly what I'm talking about. But nobody thinks Mickey Mouse can have a heart attack. He doesn't even have a heart. He's a cartoon. He's nothing. He's a fantasy. So is your body. You having fun with a cartoon when you make up cartoon strips and Mickey Mouse meets Minnie Mouse for the first time? Don't you want to see that one? But it's a fantasy. Yes. Ross, what do you got? You want to weigh in?
Yeah, before you said Ken Wapnick, I was going to suggest that you get the course, the Journey Through the Workbook, which goes through every single lesson and is very helpful for me to understand some of the idiosyncrasies of the wordage. But you already have it, and so yeah. Yeah, we do study Ken Wapnick.
Yeah, and Ken, listen, I study Ken a lot. I love the guy. Met him a couple of times, talked to him. He's helped me with some of my work on my recording, because some of the he's and the it's are very confusing. And Ken is just another ego, but he loves A Course in Miracles. The highest quantity, quality Course in Miracles teacher ever is Ken Wapnick. But it comes through the Ken Wapnick filter also. Ken had certain things he was working through himself, and it comes through his teaching. And over the years, if you study him over the years, he shifts. You can see him awakening and becoming more free and dropping some of the earlier teachings that he had because they were dead ends. I mean, love it. Love it. Ken's great.
Axel, I was wondering when you were asking your question, whether you meant, because this has been something on my mind, a question, whether you meant the body as we know it is not real, or that there is no such thing as a body at all.
Okay, say that last part again.
Well, there is no such thing as a body at all.
But I'm so busy reminding myself that my body is not real, and then just looking at it, and that tonight I don't know what the question was, and I don't know if I could answer it.
I'm not sure the question was either.
Oh.
If we think of our body as helpful in the use of our mind, either egoic mind or spiritual mind, that whichever way we want, then if we think of it as entirely supportive of the spiritual mind, then the body is just a living, breathing thing. It doesn't have any ego in it, so in that sense, it's not real. It's a dream. Our ego that we made this ego up, and it's a dream.
It has no identity in it.
Has no identity in it. But see, this is what I've always wondered. Some of the guys here talk about astronomy, for instance, and we have the planets and the galaxies and all those things. Are they real, or are they just part of our imagination of what we've made up is not real? And if they are real, then why can't our bodies be real, but we use it? We use them in a way that makes me think that they are egos, identity.
So you're involved in level of confusion right now, which is very natural and a very good meditation to take with Course in Miracles. Mickey Mouse is real, folks. And nobody here denies Mickey Mouse is not real. because I say Mickey Mouse and you all know exactly what I'm talking about. But Mickey Mouse is not true. He's not either a mouse, nor is his name really Mickey.
So I guess that's what I'm getting at. Our ego is not true.
Correct.
But our body...
As in true as in upper letters. It's not a creation. It's not eternal. It's just it's like a book that you read and you're done with, or a movie you watch and it's over. It's wonderful, but you cannot identify with it.
That's what I'm trying to get at. It's our ego, I think, came from the Big Bang. Our ego started off as a temperament, and then life around us convinced it to be certain ways. And what I'm trying to say is all of that was made up.
Mickey Mouse is made up.
Except is the body itself without that ego real? In other words,
is Mickey Mouse real? Yes or no?
Well, depends on how you look at it.
Let me ask you this. Does Mickey Mouse wear gloves? Yes or no?
Well, my statues outside, they do.
Yes, he does.
He absolutely does. Every single Mickey Mouse cartoon, he has gloves on, because otherwise you'd be drawing claws. And we don't want the children to look at Mickey with his claws showing. So Mickey Mouse is real. It's not true. It's made up 100%.
That's what I'm getting at. Our ego is...
I know you are.
Okay.
Don't take it too far.
Okay. So the step that's hard for me, maybe for Axel also, is if how we think of ourself, small s, is made up, then can the body just be used for the mind of spirit rather than anything else? And is that what you would call truth?
It's not truth. It's a bridge.
It's a bridge.
A bridge is not a destination. It connects one place to another. The Holy Spirit is not true.
Okay, is that bridge real, though?
Forgiveness is not true. Miracles are not true.
So after we get to the point where we realize that we don't need the body at all, because what we really are is love.
Eternal, infinite, love, sharing, yes.
Then what you're telling me is the Big Bang Theory didn't work, and all the stuff that emerged from it never happened.
The Big Bang Theory is equivalent to the inkwell and a Walt Disney studio with a board and pencils. That's the Big Bang for Mickey Mouse. He didn't exist, and then one day he did.
Okay.
So. Not making Mickey Mouse any more or less because of the Big Bang of ink on paper. And Mickey Mouse continued. In fact, Mickey Mouse will be around forever. Mickey Mouse is eternal now in time and space. He's committed to memory and he's fun and Mickey Mouse is, but he's not true. There is no Mickey Mouse. It's made up. So are you. Your body, you may return to your body again and again and again if you wish. But to awaken your mind and then you come back to your body, if you will come back without fear, see? You come back with your awareness of being spirit, not body. Now you can come back and play with the ideas of body. It's a lot more fun. You can draw Mickey Mouse falling in love with Minnie Mouse because it's really more interesting than Mickey running for his life because some other cartoon character is trying to get him.
For me, that's almost like saying our bodies are running around. If we're spirit, we can choose to go back and play with it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Like other animals.
It's absolutely true. And you're already playing with it. It's just you're taking it too seriously. So you absolutely got it, Luann.
Okay.
Yep. Good, good. Do we have any time left? Oh. All right. Next time, I'm going to take you to some even more cutting challenges that Jesus offers us on this two-sided coin, which is essential to understanding A Course in Miracles. The two-sided coin, body, spirit. two-sided coin is whether you would identify, can you actually let go of identifying being
with the body
and try out for size the idea of you actually being beyond the body, spirit, something eternal, something that is only love, something that only sees sharing and sameness and joy, and get cleverly finds ways to be more joyful as extending God. Is that possible? But that means your body, which is full of limit, has to be dropped. Just the idea of identifying with it, folks, as Luann was circling around, the body doesn't have to die. That's ridiculous. If the body had to die, that means it was true and it was a real barrier to love. It's not. You do not have to end the character. You have to end the identifying with the character. So, this is very important. It's quintessential. It's metaphysical to A Course in Miracles. We'll continue it for a few more weeks. I got some great passages to show you next week. Let's do it again.
And again and again.
And we'll do it again and again and again. Yeah, this one's so important. Andrew, I'm not going to rush through it.
Hey, Andrew.
Yes, sir.
I was supposed to leave my finger in a page and I lost it. Do you remember what page it was?
Yes, 390.
Oh, thanks.
On 390, what I want you to do, Kenny, is look at that paragraph 8 and pick a beautiful place, either out of your imagination or out of your actual life, a place that you would just love forever, that you can go to in your mind without your body and just glow in peace.
My soul, I am the altar.
Nice. Amen. There you go, buddy. You're on it. You're on it. Yes, sir. Good night, everybody. I'll talk to Don for a few minutes after the meeting.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you, Ross. Thanks for launching us into peace, buddy. That's your path.
The question of access.
Thank you, Don, for your honest questions.
Got it, but maybe better.